series that I started looking at some of the people who followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to be doing that again tonight, stories that you're familiar with, but there's always something new that we can learn. It's the old, old story, but it's ever new. Let's just come and pray and ask God to help us again. Shall we pray? Our dear Heavenly Father, you are the almighty, eternal God. Lord, we fall at your feet in humble expectation tonight. Lord, we pray that you will teach us your way through your word. And by your Holy Spirit, will you equip us tonight to do your will, so that, Lord, we may glorify and honor your name in all that we do. And we ask this for Jesus' sake and for his name. Amen. Tonight, I want to look at Luke chapter 10, also look at John chapter 11 and John chapter 12 a bit later on. And we're looking at the story of Mary, and I've entitled the message, Worshipping Follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm glad, as I said, to be able to continue in the series as we explore the Bible characters who walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to learn, or we want to learn from their examples about their faith in the Lord Jesus and to see the power of God at work in their lives and see how that we can apply that to our own lives. We have found that the figures that we've looked at already who followed after the Lord Jesus, as I said before, they were not saints. They were real people who themselves faced various pressures and tensions just as we do in our own lives. And then we see how that they responded in faith so that they might be an encouragement to you as they have been to me. We started, you remember, with John's story, which was the story of transformation. How John, when he followed the Lord Jesus Christ, his whole life changed. And he became from a troubled person to someone who was known as the Beloved. And so God changed him. Then we looked at Thomas, the doubting follower. And when Thomas had seen the Lord Jesus with his own eyes, how that he became a believer. And then the stories of how the power of God works in the lives of people who are fully yielded to him. So tonight we want to look at a woman who followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And her name is Mary, and you all know the story. And so will you turn with me then to Luke chapter 10 and verses 38 to 42. I'm going to be reading from the NIV. As I said, we can call her story Mary, a worshipping follower. And one thing that Mary teaches us is how to truly worship the Lord Jesus Christ. So looking at John chapter 10 verses 38. And Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and she asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Well, may the Lord bless that passage to our hearts tonight. Among all of the homes that were open to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Jerusalem area, perhaps the favorite home for the Lord Jesus is the home in which our story takes place tonight. The home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus in Bethany, just outside the city of Jerusalem. Now, I think Jesus spent a great deal of time in this area, and when he was perhaps in this area, he used their home as his base. All of the members of this household, we see that they loved the Lord Jesus. We don't read anything about the parents in the text. And so we can assume, in the light of what the Bible says here in Luke chapter 10, that Martha opened her home to Jesus. It seemed that the parents had by this time passed away. And in that family of two sisters and one brother, there was this genuine and sincere affection for each other and for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure that you've all noticed that in every family, there are marked differences in each of the family members. Children vary in size, temperament, outlook, and so we can expect there to be differences in these three in the home that we're looking at this evening. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, it seems Martha is intent on working. Mary is intent on worshiping, and Lazarus was intent upon waiting. Now, these seem to be the outstanding characteristics of these three. And it's interesting to see that out of all of the followers that we have been reading about in the scriptures, Mary seems to have caught the essence of what it means to be a truly worshiping follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think this is one of the missing qualities in our world today, is the ability to truly worship God and to worship the Lord Jesus. We have hundreds of different forms of religious expression today. And one aspect that we have largely missed, I believe, is this matter of truly worshiping the Lord Jesus. Now, it's an old truth for all those who know their Bibles, and I know most of you do, that there are three times that Mary is mentioned here in the scriptures. And in each time, she is seen to be at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ in a worshipful attitude. For every believer, I believe, to spend at least part of each day at Jesus' feet is an absolute must if we want to expect the blessing of God in our lives. And so I want to look at each of these three occasions and see what they can teach us tonight. So the first one we're looking at is in Luke chapter 10. We'll then go on to John chapter 11. And finally, we'll look at John chapter 12. And so that's the road that I, and the path that I want to walk on to and through tonight. And so we begin here in Luke chapter 10 and verse 39. Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. And so this is the first occasion where we find Mary at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And she's there to get direction for her life. You see, at the feet of Jesus, we learn who he is. We learn what he has come to do, and we learn how we can get to heaven and how it actually impacts our lives here on earth. And so Jesus has arrived at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, probably along with a number of his disciples, and there was this need for them to prepare a meal. So while Jesus was there and he was teaching the others in the family in this particular home, Martha took it upon herself to go and prepare the meal so that those who came with Jesus and the Lord Jesus himself might have something to eat. And while she was doing that, we find that while Martha was slaving away in the kitchen, Mary had taken advantage of the Lord's presence, and there she was sitting at his feet patiently listening to what he had to say. And while she was doing that, Martha slaving away in the kitchen, we see that there she started to feel sorry for herself and she started to grumble about what was going on. Martha was irritated. Here was a potential situation for discord, even in this home where the Lord Jesus Christ was present and where Jesus was loved, even over a spiritual issue. But Martha was making a fundamental mistake that you and I can so easily make. Martha was substituting activity, important activity, busy activity, good activity, and certainly it was necessary activity. But she was substituting the time that could have been spent at Jesus' feet with all of this activity that she was involved in. And Jesus has said, you remember, that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so Mary took this time to listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is so important. And it was Martha who received something of a rebuke from the Lord Jesus. So what do we learn when we follow Mary's example and we spend time at the Lord Jesus' feet? Why then do we as believers even want to spend time at Jesus' feet? Well, I want to just suggest a few things tonight. Excuse me. One of the things that you will find there is the enrichment of God's love. You see, Mary, excuse me, was near Jesus, and that was what mattered to her. That was where her heart was. As far as Mary was concerned, time spent in the presence of the Lord Jesus was the most precious thing that she could ever have experienced. And so we catch the sense that what Mary was doing at the feet of Jesus is that she was having her heart and her life enriched by the unconditional love that Jesus was able to offer to her. Mary loved the Lord Jesus, and she knew that he loved her and her family. And then certainly Martha loved the Lord Jesus, to be sure. But apparently Martha did not love the Lord Jesus in the same way or as much as Mary did. And so how do we know that? Because you see, love always wants to be near the person that you love, doesn't it? I can remember when I was courting Lola, I would want to be at her home every moment that I could be. I wanted to be in her presence. I wanted to speak to her as often as I possibly could. The Bible tells us that where our treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And so the question that we can ask ourselves tonight is this: do we really love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we really love the Lord Jesus Christ, sincerely love the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, once you discover what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you, as Mona had spelt it out for us this morning, then our hearts go out to him, because we realize that he has given up everything for us. He's given himself for us. And a good way that we can ask us to find out how much we really love him is we can ask ourselves, how much time are you willing to spend with him? How much time are you willing to spend with him? Because when we spend time with Jesus, we receive the blessing, we receive the enrichment from him of his love in our own lives. But let me just suggest something else that we receive when we spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ at his feet. Not only the enrichment of his love, but we also receive the enlightenment and the learning of truth from him. Because Mary heard Jesus' voice and Mary was taught Jesus' message, the message that she heard was the message from God to her. It was what she needed more than anything else. And that's what you and I need more than anything else. She learned truth from Jesus that she couldn't learn anywhere else. And in the midst of this busy world in which we live, don't we need to take that time out to spend it with Jesus, to sit at his feet and allow him to speak to us and to reveal the sins in our own hearts, to reveal the truth about his character, to reveal about all the things that he has in store for us, to have our minds enlightened and renewed. The fact there is that there is no shortcut to spiritual maturity. There are no shortcuts to understanding spiritual issues and understanding spiritual truths. It takes time, it takes thought, it takes studying the scriptures to know and to understand the message that Jesus wants to convey to us. And then to apply those truths to our own hearts. What a wonderful teacher Jesus is. And we must listen to him, and we must respond to him as he speaks to us. And so if you want to know how to live in this world, and not to fall into all of the pitfalls that are along the way, you and I need to truly have a worshiping heart, growing in understanding of divine truth. Mary took the important time to spend at Jesus' feet for the enrichment of her life and for the enrichment of learning all that there is to know about him. If he is the most important person, if he is the sovereign Lord of the universe, surely our heart's desire is to get to know him personally and to get to know everything that there is to know about him. But there is another reason as well, and that is for our encouragement. As we spend time in the Lord Jesus, no matter how down we might feel, you will always walk away encouraged when you spend time with him. And so here I want to share with you some insight, which may be a little bit different from what you are used to receiving when you study this particular passage of Scripture and this story. You see, Mary received from Jesus what Jesus called the needful thing. Verse 42. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. That needful thing, said Jesus, would never be removed from Mary. Martha had evidently not received that, because she had not taken time to be at Jesus' feet, learning from him. Jesus was meeting this very great need in Mary's life, and she was drinking in that message that came from him. And she wouldn't be greatly encouraged in the process. Her life would never be the same again. And I can assure you tonight as I stand here that the more time you spend with God and with the Lord Jesus in his word, you will never be the same again. You know, most of our lives are spent on things that will not last. Most of the time we are preoccupied, aren't we, with wrong priorities. Priorities that in the long term don't amount to anything. But Martha, she grumbled. She was in the kitchen trying to prepare this meal. And the question that I want to ask is why? Why was Martha so angry? Why was she so irritated? And immediately I'm sure that someone here will say to me, well, it was because she was having to do all the work herself. Don't we feel like that? Right, we do. You see, but I don't think that is the real reason. I think there is a deeper reason in the text that we can find here. And perhaps this is something that you and I are guilty of from time to time. So let's just look at just for a moment, because Mary was spending time at Jesus' feet for her direction, trying to find direction for her life. And Martha was grumbling that she had spent too much time with Jesus. That's what she was saying. Now, people sometimes accuse us of spending too much time. They say, you are so heavenly minded, you're of no earthly use. But we just look at a few of the facts in this text tonight. In verse 38, it says, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And I find that very interesting. In the King James Version, it says, Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. In the NIV, it says, she opened her home to him. Therefore, we assume that Martha was the oldest of the three of them, and that the house must have belonged to her. Otherwise, it would have stated that it belonged to one of the others. Perhaps she was married. Perhaps her brother and sister lived with her. Some have suggested that Martha was married to Simon the leper. We are told in Mark 14, verse 3, for example, that Simon the leper held a feast for Lazarus after his resurrection when Jesus raised him from the dead. Be that as it may, the question is, why did Martha get so uptight? Martha, being the oldest and perhaps having an aggressive temperament, was such that she probably was the leader of this family. She knew that her younger brother, Lazarus, and her younger sister, Mary, always looked to her for leadership. And so she was the leader in the family. And yet when Jesus came on the scene, Martha saw Mary move away from her leadership in order to place herself under the leadership of the Lord Jesus. Mary was beginning to move away from Martha's control and beginning to become a follower of the Lord Jesus. And to Martha, this was a threat. It threatened her leadership in the household. Martha then became very insecure, I believe. And Martha is appealing to Jesus here to tell Mary to help her in the preparation of the meal. It may have been a move on Martha's part to have Jesus assist her to restore Martha's control over Mary. The gentle rebuke of Jesus was a word to Martha to bring her life and her relationship into a healthy and a proper balance. And so Jesus said Mary was doing the thing that was right. Mary was doing the right thing, spending time at Jesus' feet, because she was spending time getting direction for her own life. Now let's turn with me to John chapter 11 for a moment. It's a great chapter. You all know it well, I'm sure. It was about the death of Lazarus. You all know the scene, so I just want to look at a few verses. Lazarus had become ill. Mary and Martha are concerned, and they send a message to Jesus that simply says, the one that you love is sick. You see, they trusted Jesus to do something in the life of their brother Lazarus. They knew Jesus had done this before, and yet he did absolutely nothing. In fact, the scripture says that he stayed away 3 more days when he got the message. In other words, he was wanting to make sure that Lazarus died. You see, when Jesus finally came back to the home, Lazarus had already been buried. And so the interesting thing about the story is that Martha is the one who came out to meet Jesus when she saw him coming over the horizon. And Mary remained in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." To this response, Jesus gave a marvelous statement. What did he say? He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that lives and believes in me shall never die." What is Jesus saying? If you believe in me, you will never die. You will have eternal life. And so in John chapter 11, verse 24, and Martha responds and she says, "I know that's true." She understood that Jesus was able to raise people from the dead. "I know he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day." You see, Martha believed that Jesus had the ability to save. And after this, Martha went to get Mary and she said in verses 28, that the Master has come and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and she went to him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly that she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and she said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." You see, that was the second time where Mary is at the feet of the Lord Jesus. She said, "If you have been here, my brother would not have died." It was the very same words that her sister had used, the same thing that Martha said. You see, I think that both these sisters had wondered in their hearts why Jesus had not done anything. Because he could have healed their brother from a long distance if he pleased. But he didn't choose to do so. Here in John 11, Mary is at the feet of Jesus because hearts that are hurting are healed there. The death of her brother saddened Mary. She thought it was all over. Many times we find that emotion strikes deeply into our hearts. We have all these searching questions, these thoughts. "Lord, why did you not do something for my brother?" We all feel that way at times. But Jesus revealed to the sisters truth that was able to comfort them. He told them to go to the graveside and he told them to roll away the stone. And they did. He called Lazarus from the dead. And whenever you and I face those kind of situations in our lives, when our hearts hurt within us and we don't understand why God doesn't do something differently to the way that he does it, then we need to remember, as one man put it this way, he says, "Jesus often does not do the lesser thing in our lives so that he can do the greater thing in our lives." You see, it would have been much easier for Jesus to raise Lazarus from the sickbed than to raise Lazarus from the dead. And so we see that Jesus was able to reverse the process of decay. Lazarus had died, and Jesus was able to give him new life. And so we discover when our hearts hurt, and when they are wounded, and when we spend time and we weep before God, and we need to be at Jesus' feet, because we can bring our difficulties to him, knowing that he is the one who is able to heal our broken hearts and our hurts. Lastly, let's just quickly look at John chapter 12 and verse 3. Once again, we find Mary at the feet of Jesus. This time it was at a dinner. Lazarus is there with Jesus in the seat of honor. Mary is our lady of honor. She sees something in the eyes of Jesus that night that men did not see. You know, women often have a far more perceptive spirit than we as men do. The men were there to eat and to rejoice over the resurrection of Lazarus. But what did Mary see? You see, Mary saw something of the shadow of Jesus' coming death. What did she do? She left the banquet, went to her bedroom, took out for her what was her most treasured possession that she or any unmarried woman would have had. And this was a box of pure nard, we are told. It was a perfume that was expensive, tremendously so. She probably had kept it for the day of her own marriage. But sensing that the death of the Lord Jesus was imminent, what did she do? She came and she broke that box of perfume and anointed the body of Jesus, knelt down and did something that was absolutely unseemly for any unmarried woman to do. She let down her hair and wiped the feet of Jesus with her hair. And that's the third time that we see Mary at the feet of Jesus. In Luke 10, she was there for trying to get direction for her life. Because we learn of Jesus as our Savior. We learn of how to get to heaven. We learn of salvation at his feet. In John 11, she is there because her difficulties, because of her hurts, they are healed at Jesus' feet. And here in John chapter 12, she is at the feet of Jesus because of her devotion to him. Because hearts are humbled at the feet of Jesus with thanksgiving for all that he has done for us. Mary saw that the death of Jesus would soon be upon him. And she offered to the Lord Jesus the very best that she possessed. What about you and what about me? I have to ask the question tonight. What are we offering to Jesus in our lives? There are times when it's right to be extravagant for Jesus. We find that Judas, one of the disciples, complained that the perfume could have been sold and the money given to the poor. And Jesus' response was, "The poor you will always have. Leave her alone. Against the day of my burial has she done this." You see, Jesus put the right motive on the action that Mary had taken because she had done it with a devoted heart. Jesus, give Jesus your very best. That was a loving gesture from the loving heart of Mary to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus said, wherever the gospel is proclaimed, this will be remembered about a woman named Mary. When she wiped his feet with her hair, and the fragrance stayed with her for as long, long time after that. You can tell that she had been with Jesus by the fragrance in her hair. And let me ask you tonight, can people sense that you have been with Jesus? Is there a fragrance about your life that people can see? Are you worshiping? Are you a worshiping follower of the Lord Jesus like Mary was? Have you spent time at his feet? Let me close tonight with a poem from William Cowper. It says here, "Lo, at thy feet, Lord Jesus, this is the place for me. Here I have learned deep lessons, truth, that have set me free. Free from myself, Lord Jesus, free from the ways of men, chains that of thought that have bound me, never to come in view again. Only thyself, Lord Jesus, conquered my wayward will. But for thy love constraining, I had been wayward still." We can learn much from the woman who followed Jesus. Learn how to worship. Learn that when our hearts are hurting, we need to come to Jesus' feet. And when we need to learn just how to be humble, we must take the time to spend it at Jesus' feet. Let's close tonight by singing our last hymn, and that is hymn number 559, "Loved with an Everlasting Love." Indeed, that's what we are as his children. He loves us with an everlasting love.